Welcome to another episode of Thoughts of a Techno Wizard, Techno Shaman, and Narco Futurist, and other cool stuff too. It is Friday, April 12th, 12:20 p.m., 2024. And I wanted to talk about one or two things today. Probably, we'll see what I get to. I want to talk about board gaming stuff, so Risk of Rain 2. The game and the lore. The lore is like insane in that game. It's just incredible, to be honest with you. And the other thing is very different from that. Hip hop, you know, specifically this Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole beef. I think I'm gonna start with that. And what I might say might surprise you, or whatever, however the clickbaity stuff goes. I don't know if it's not really clickbait since I'm not going to call that the title, probably, but whatever. So this stuff has been on my mind a lot because, you know, I love hip-hop. You know, I listen to a lot of rap music, and I've been a huge fan of Kendrick for a long time now. Not a super fan because there's plenty of stuff that he made that I just did not like. I'm not even talking about the last album. Like, I definitely agree that the last album was not that great. Like, artistically wise, it was pretty good, but, you know, my partner and I talk about this all the time. It just felt very, I always forget my words. Presumptuous, maybe that's the word I'm looking for here. I don't know, felt kind of hoity-toity, and I don't say that in a way that rap can't be that. I actually do think that rap should be more about, and I'll get into this more later, but I do think rap should get back to and go forward into talking about more interesting topics than the usual stuff. The problem with that album, in my opinion, is that it does so in a very poor way. Like, it's talking about topics that, you know, in a way that just screams of like not having really had talked to the people that it's referring to, or, you know, and there's a lot of problems in that album, to be honest with you, in terms of like the concepts he was messing with. You know, I really hate like the whole Dr. Sebi type stuff, and like that's the whole other conversation. I didn't even mean to talk about that, but nonetheless, there's plenty of stuff that from Kendrick that I don't like. But I do think he's one of the greatest artists of all time, definitely. And J. Cole, I have not been a fan of J. Cole nearly as long. I'm be honest with you. You know, I remember back in the day, I believe it was like 2014 or 2015 or something like that. And we had these conversations of goats and everything like that. And a lot of people were on the side of J. Cole back then. And I was like, I was just not having it. Because back then, I felt like J. Cole was like an elevated Logic. Like, he talked about stuff in a way that, you know, seemed like all high and mighty and like, oh yeah, I'm trying to be cool or whatever, or I'm trying to be positive or whatever. But it often, in my opinion, came off very toxic or just, you know, not super thought out, kind of surface level. And I've just never been a fan. But this is a very, very hot take, even hotter than I just said. But like when KOD came out, that's when I started to be like, okay, I think I like J. Cole a little bit more. And, you know, I can see why people didn't like KOD, but for me, to me, that showed the advancement in his technical ability as well as his, you know, concepts and stuff like that. Just felt a little bit more cohesive. And then definitely with what's the one after that? The Offseason, I think it was. That's one of my favorites. So, you know, I became a big fan of J. Cole recently, you know, especially his stuff with Dreamville, his recent stuff with Dreamville and Revenge of the Nerds and stuff like that. Revenge of the Dreamers, I think it's called. But yeah, and the whole other big three of that, like Drake, nah. He's never been in my top five. Not even in my top 10. Probably not even my top 20. I don't like Drake at all. Yeah, I'm not afraid to say that. Yeah, I might be hating. Like, I do not give him any props whatsoever. I don't care that he's one of the most that he sold the most albums or whatever. I don't care. I don't like him at all. I don't like his music. I don't like his mentality. I don't like the way he moves. I don't like the way he talks. None of that. I just don't like him. And that's been consistent for a long, long time. Sure, he's put out some music. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is interesting, or this is cool in different ways. But overall, I do not like Drake. And I don't think he deserves to be in that top five discussion. Of course, it's a super hot take. Probably even a hotter take than the J. Cole stuff for a lot of people. I don't care. I just feel like Drake does not have that technique, does not have the background, does not have the consistency, does not have the conceptual ability to be on the same level as Kendrick or even a Cole, right? And to be honest with you, my real top five and stuff like that is folks like freaking King Los, you know, Lupe to some extent, freaking Tech N9ne, Eminem. Eminem has been my favorite rapper for a long, long time. And I know a lot of people love to hate on Eminem, especially these days, but I actually feel like he's gotten better. Because when you go back and watch or listen to a lot of his music, it's extremely toxic. And I think people know that, but people like to say, oh, Eminem was better. Like, oh, Eminem was toxic as hell, right? And I enjoyed it because of my own, like, journey into hip-hop, like, me coming from a Seventh Day Adventist super conservative church, you know, thing. Eminem was like my rebellion phase, right? My rebellious phase. And so that's why I kind of glommed onto Eminem. Even though I would admit, like, I definitely admit he's not as good as, you know, a Kendrick or a Big Crit or a Biggie or something like that in terms of like conceptual storytelling. Like, a lot of his stuff, well, I'm not gonna say like that because he has a really good storytelling, but how I want to put this, a lot of his stuff is very narrow. I put it like that, right? Like, a lot of his music, especially the old Eminem, is very narrow in terms of, like, you already know what he's gonna talk about, like bashing women, bashing people. Like, it's very it's not good. But technically speaking, right, he's been one of the best rappers ever, right? Technically speaking, like, his technicality, right, the way he can put together rhymes and lyrics and stuff like that and use different wordplay and all that, like, that is at a level that most other artists cannot reach at all. But yeah, as you can hear, like, I love hip-hop. Like, there's a lot I can get into. I haven't even gotten into, like, the old stuff. Like, I at one point I went back and listened to, like, many of the old greats, like KRS-One and stuff like that, and a lot of them are really good too in different ways. Definitely you can hear that rap has evolved since then. So I personally don't agree with the concept that, you know, rap has died or whatever, like, hip-hop is dead. Like, I don't think hip-hop ever died. Like, it just evolved in different ways and it got commodified. That's the problem, right? Especially radio based rap, like, that has got commodified to the extent, like, yeah, that looks like it's dead. But it's not actual hip-hop, because actual hip-hop is in the streets, right? It's the underground stuff, it's the backpackers, it's the battle rappers, and that stuff has evolved to an extent where it's phenomenal, right? If you go listen to some battle rappers, some Daylight, you know, some what's his name, I don't listen to battle rap as much. I don't remember all their names, but a lot of them are really, like, amazing, like, phenomenal. You know, Loaded Lux, you know, all these folks are incredible with their wordplay and their technique and stuff like that. But unfortunately, a lot of them, you know, can't make a lot of single hits and stuff like that. But I'm just fanboying now. But all that to say, this whole Kendrick and J. Cole thing has been very interesting to me. As a fan of hip-hop, as well as a fan of anarchism, right? and the reason why this relates to me is because, not only because of hip hop is just very anarchistic in and of itself, it's a you know, a way for oppressed peoples to express themselves in a way that's, like, you know, anti-authoritarian in many ways. However, a big problem with hip hop has been its inability to, or rather I should say its attempts, right? It's almost like a desire to suck up to capitalism, right? And to suck up to conservatism in many ways, which is insane if you understand, like, the entire origins of hip hop, right? Like, it's, it doesn't really make sense why this happened, but it also makes sense, right? Because the people who created this, right, this music, again, meant it. You can see, you know, Rakim and KRS-One and stuff like that. They talk about how hip hop was meant to be like essentially a non-violent way to express violence, right? To express anger, to express you know, problems that you have in the streets. A lot of these problems, such as drug violence and gang violence, or drug abuse and gang violence and all this other stuff, that stuff was a result of, you know, the government and corporatization of neighborhoods, you know, kind of destroying a lot of the environment and stuff like that, making it extremely hard for people to live good lives. And so people, you know, descend into violence and crime and all this other stuff. But the music was a way to express that in a healthy way, right? It was a way to talk about, you know, all the stuff happening around them, as well as to both to shed light on it and to just vent, right? And it eventually became a way out of these situations, a way to change the situations, right? And this is why, you know, rap has always been extremely political in terms of, like, the NWA and stuff like that, right? But the problem came through, I think, the commoditization of hip hop. When people started to realize, when these, specifically these labels and, you know, companies and stuff started to realize, oh, people really like this music. Oh, we can make money with this music, right? We can package it up and sell it, you know? And people, they've been doing that to black music for a long, long time. Like, almost every genre of music in America started from black people, right? And this is not no conspiracy. Like, this is straight facts. You can look it up with the development of rock, right? Came from, you know, these old country, I forgot her name, goodness. This is an old black woman. Well, she wasn't old at the time, but this black woman who was, like, going ham on her guitar, and a lot of her stuff was copied, was basically stolen by folks like Elvis and all these other folks at the time. You know, a lot of country even came from black folks. You know, a lot of freaking even electronic music, right? A lot of dubstep and stuff like that came from the Jamaican kind of rhythms and stuff like that. So it's really crazy, because, you know, there's always been this practice, this culture in America of, you know, parasitizing off of black culture, off of black pain, even black expression. And hip-hop is one of the biggest examples of that. So during the commoditization phase, you know, from the 80s going into the 90s especially, you see this growth of hip-hop to the world stage, but also this effect of hip-hop becoming more and more packaged, right? Where it starts to benefit, or you can even say devolve into a sort of archetypes, right? Into a sort of message that they're packing up and saying, oh yeah, look, this is black culture, right? And now you can buy it, now you can be a part of it, right? And a lot of that was seen in quote-unquote gangster rap, right? People have to realize that gangster rap was not real, but also real. What I mean by that is, when you look at Pac and Biggie and folks like that during those times, and even dating back before then to I wish I was better with names, but, like, Don't Push Me Because I'm Close to the Edge, you know? like a jungle design. Sometimes I wonder how I think of going under. You know, everybody knows that song, but that came even earlier. But a lot of that, if you listen to the song and watch the video, you know, it was one of the first examples of Black people showing what their life is like. And to many people in the world, that was crazy. Like, it was terrifying in a way. But also because Black folks are able to express their pain in a palatable way, in a way that is even fun to an extent. And this is true for many other, like, you see this in Caribbean music, you see this in African, you know, music and stuff like that, where Black people are able to kind of show their, like I said before, show their pain in a palatable way. It makes it seem like they're glorifying that life rather than simply expressing that life, right? And so that nuance gets lost as it gets commoditized and packaged, right? And so as this music gets popular and commoditized, you know, these labels and these folks that are making it out of the hood, you know, on their music, are seeing this and playing into it some more, right? They're leaning into this apparent glorification, even though the intent was not necessarily to glorify the violence and stuff like that. It was to express, right? It was to shed light on. But that nuance gets lost as they try to package this stuff up. And so gangster rap becomes a sort of, you can use the term from wrestling, a kayfabe, right? Kayfabe meaning like they're pretending, they're playing this up. They're leaning into this role of like, oh, this, I'm a gangster, I'm this, that, and the other. But a lot of it does come from their real life experiences, right? A lot of it comes from the fact that they actually lived in these terrible places where they had to figure out a way to survive. And from that, you know, you get a lot of the overtures, right? You get a lot of the pictures, you get a lot of the imagery and the ideas that you see in a lot of rap music today. But again, and I cannot stress this enough, it does not start as a glorification, right? That's very clear in the older music. It is not a glorification, right? It's just them trying to express and shed light on how, where they came from, what their life is like, right? But again, as it gets packaged, that it turns into a glorification. And that's where and why and how you can see a lot of the lyricism, a lot of the visuals become more and more focused on like, oh yeah, look how cool I am with the guns and the women and the cars and stuff like that, right? Because it shows not only the glorification of that violence that their life was full of, but now it begins to glorify, it begins to become a propaganda for the American dream, right? The idea that you can start from nothing and become super rich and successful, right? Even back in the 90s, this dream was a farce, right? Because that dream has been a farce for Black people in the entire, you know, in the entire history of America. But especially after the 50s, you know, that dream has become, you know, all but a nightmare, or just, you know, completely just a dream for most Americans. But in hip hop, right, as these people who are born in these terrible neighborhoods eventually can actually make money and become millionaires, you know, your Jay-Z and stuff like that, that becomes the perfect propaganda for the American project to say, oh yeah, it works. You see, these people, you know, come from nothing and now they're billionaires and billionaires. And so that's why this glorification, you know, becomes more and more apparent and more visible and more highlighted and more popular. Right, it just plays into the message that they wanted to use all this time. And so a couple things comes from that, right? You see a commoditization of the music, the message, but also the lifestyle, the supposed lifestyle. Again, even though this lifestyle was not something that people wanted to live, it was just how they lived, it became a goal, it became a example of how you could live, or a something that, you know, I'm quite frank with you, white people can pretend to step into, can be like, oh yeah, I'm from this too, right? Because, you know, you have this culture of parasitizing off of Black pain, right? And so this is super important because, unfortunately, especially in America, the way in which white people, especially white young people, glom onto black culture and try to claim it for themselves, right? Many of it comes from, might come from appreciation, right? But then it turns very quickly into, goodness, I'm losing the word. You know what I'm talking about. Appropriation, goodness, right? They might appreciate it at first. They might realize, oh man, these people are so cool. They're able to, you know, start from this poor, you know, terrible environment and then become super successful. But then they realize, oh wait, maybe I might be able to be this type of person, right? Because again, the American dream was always has been a farce for a lot of people. So it's not just black people that lived in these terrible neighborhoods. It was also poor white people, right? Classism affects everybody, right? Like, there's a whole bunch of poor white people as well. And of course, the many other minorities. But with white people being, you know, of course, the majority of the population, a lot of them begin to glom onto this, right? But at the same time, you also see like I said before, this appropriation, to where they say, this is my culture, right? This is where I come from too. Like, I can pretend to be this as well, right? And this is why appropriation is getting, I don't know if you hear all this wind. This is like a crap ton of wind right now. Hopefully this windbreaker is working. But yeah, like you see that appropriation going on. And so a lot of the white folks, this is why you see such a popular realm of middle class white folks at black artist concerts and stuff like that, right? Not only is because they want to appropriate this culture, but also because they are the only ones that can now afford, you know, these concerts and stuff like that. So all these, as these artists are getting popular, other people want to hear them, and so they put on concerts. But guess what? A lot of black people are still poor, so they can't even afford to go to the concerts. But a lot of white folks, you know, there's a huge amount of white folks in these middle class or even upper class who like the culture and can afford to go to a concert, can afford to buy albums, can afford to participate in the commodification, right, of this culture. And because of that, right, hip hop becomes more and more in a way commoditized as well as watered down, right? It becomes more and more of a trying to appeal to everybody by commoditizing this glorification of violence and stuff like that, of money, women, and cars, right? Not because that's the actual life that many black people are still living or have lived, but because that's the nuance that has been stripped away, right? Because that's the part of the message that can still, you know, relate to a lot of people, right? No matter where you come from, you're probably going to have an appreciation, if you believe in the project of capitalism, right, of money, women, and cars, all right? And so that is a part of the message, that is part of the hip-hop, quote-unquote, culture that gets projected, that gets popular, that gets, you know, put on a pedestal, and it becomes a, quote-unquote, idea of hip-hop, right? So I honestly didn't even mean to go through the whole history like this. It just kind of just came out. What I really wanted to talk about was the fact that the whole J. Cole Kendrick thing to me is, goodness, I am getting blown away. Like, I don't know if you hear this, but I might have to go inside. Like, it's really nice out here. It's a little chilly though, but yeah, the wind is insane. I feel like I have to yell in order to be heard right now. But all that to say that between Kendrick and J. Cole, and I guess Drake, whatever. Well, real quick, the reason why I don't like Drake is because he essentially embodies all the worst aspects of modern day hip hop, right? He embodies that commodification, right? His whole entire point of life, right, or as an artist, is to be popular, right? Is to be in essence a pop artist, but he doesn't want to embrace the idea of a pop artist. Right. At least if he wanted to do that, you know, it's funny because in one of his most recent lyrics, he tries to call himself Michael Jackson because Michael Jackson was, you know, the king of pop. But the difference, and I don't have a problem with pop music. Right. The difference is that Michael Jackson didn't, you know, yes, he wanted to be popular in different ways, but he was very expressive with a number of different, you know, concepts and ideas and things like that. He was very innovative with a lot of his stuff, right? He didn't jump on waves, at least not as I understand it. He created a lot of them, right? And maybe I might be wrong on that, because apparently there's some, you know, beef between like Michael Jackson and Prince, and Prince being known as the artist who was more innovative and stuff like that. I don't know. I grew up on Michael Jackson, to be honest with you. I've heard a few Prince stuff, but I didn't really grow up on that. But to my knowledge, Michael Jackson seems to be more innovative in terms of pop music. I don't know about between Michael Jackson and Prince, but in terms of pop, you know, Michael Jackson created a lot of this pop music by kind of elevating or innovating on things. Drake, on the other hand, he rides trends. There's a trend that's already there, and he hops on it, right? So he rarely ever innovates anything. He doesn't really create much of anything, right? He takes what's already popular and tries to, and unfortunately, successfully, you know, rides on that and becomes like the big thing on that. And that's how a lot of his music, you know, is so popular. I wouldn't even call it pop, to be honest with you, because he themes it as hip hop. It's a weird, you know, in between state between pop and hip hop that he does. And I think he is one of the biggest reasons why hip hop itself has become more like pop. And the reason why I say that pejoratively, even though I do like pop in and of itself, is because pop is meant to be popular music, right? But it also tends to have a specific sound to it, right? It's hard to exactly explain, but if you listen to pop, especially like hyper pop and stuff like that, that takes the pop kind of music and turns it into like a little bit different stuff, you can kind of see that sound and stuff like that that it has, right? But hip hop is very different in terms of the sound, right? And to try and turn hip hop into pop, I feel like is a sort of bastardization of both genres. Even though, once again, a lot of people don't really think of pop as a genre, it's just popular music. But honestly, I do think it's its own genre at this point. Like, if you listen to pop music, right, you can tell it's very different than pretty much any other genre of music, which is why I think it deserves its own genre. And so for folks like Drake that are trying to make hip hop as pop, I think that's just not good. It's not good for either genres. But anyway, that's my beef with Drake. One of my beefs with Drake, like, a lot, I just don't like him. Like, he's very inauthentic person, you know, constantly trying to, he's a great example of this, actually. So I'll stay on this, because J. Cole is a similar problem, but to a lesser extent. But Drake especially, he tries to pretend, once again, he takes his kayfabe of being this hard artist, right, in many ways, even though many people know that he's not that type of person, right? He didn't have this come up, right? He didn't start from the bottom. He, even though he made a whole song, started from the bottom, he never started from the bottom. Like, right, when he was a freaking kid, he was a child actor, Degrassi. Like, it's a popular show, you know? He was successful from a very early age. Right? And if you pointed out, I'm sure his parents are probably, you know, middle class at least as well. And he's from Canada. Right? Nothing wrong with Canada, but it's a very different, you know, kind of landscape in many ways than the American landscape, especially in terms of the black experience. Even though, don't get me wrong, I've heard there's a lot of discrimination in Canada as well. So y'all not skating down to that. But all that to say, like, Drake is actually a great example of like this commodification of hip hop. This I'm getting a call. I might have to actually pause this important call. I'll be back. All right, let me try to finish this up now. Get to the point. I hope y'all enjoyed this TED talk about hip hop. I forgot exactly where I was, but basically, like, yeah, the whole Kendrick J. Cole thing. I feel like Kendrick is an artist that understands a lot of the art of hip hop, right? Like, he has a lot of passion for it and a high integrity, in my opinion, in terms of like his art. And you can see this in the way that a lot of his music, you know, attempts at least to try and be more of an expression of his ideas, his thoughts, his, you know, perception on the world and stuff like that, his experiences growing up and all this, like, it gets really real, right? It's authentic. Whereas Drake, I don't see much of that. And J. Cole, on the other hand, I feel like I don't see much of that as well. Like, I feel like I see some of that, like, in his older music, especially. And to newer music, I like portions of it where he is, you know, again, technically good with his lyricism and stuff like that. But I, even with his newer music, I'd admit, like, it's not nearly as in depth as something like Kendrick, right? Like, Kendrick, when he, you know, makes bars, you know, he makes points in his music, he's usually, you know, has different wordplay going on. He usually has different depth going on, right? There's a reason why he won the fucking Pulitzer Prize for his music, because it really is poetry, right? It's really deep. But Drake and J. Cole, not so much, you know. And unfortunately, in my opinion, the reason why a lot of people like their music is precisely because they don't try to be that deep, right? But in my opinion, I feel like J. Cole is a little bit more frustrating in some ways because, well, not really. Never mind, I'll take that back. I'll say they're frustrating in different ways, right? Like, Drake fans will insist that Drake is deep, but be the most insane folks, like the most misanthropic folks. Like, I think I mentioned before how Drake tries to act hard or whatever, tries to act like he's from the streets or whatever, but everybody knows he's not hard, like he's not about that life, because he himself makes, I think he or one of his, you know, lackeys or whatever said, you know, he makes music for quote unquote women, right? Even though even that is a conceit, because really his music is extremely, you know, extremely misogynistic. So it's not even for women. It's for women maybe who hate themselves or like, you could. My partner and I talk about this all the time, so I don't have time to get super into it right now. But like, yeah, it's doubly conceitful. But J. Cole, on the other hand, a lot of his fans insist that his stuff is deep or whatever. But it's a lot of his stuff is like surface level. Like many of the bars he makes, yeah, it's it might be cunning. It might have some cleverness to it, but it's not a real like double entendre, or it's not a real, you know, double meaning, or getting to a philosophical, you know, issue at large or anything like that. Like, it's, and he himself mentions, you know, when he did that stupid beef with No Name, talking about like he don't read, you know. And J. Cole is such a weird guy. Like he likes to pretend that he's you know, this type of person, he's hard or whatever. And when I say hard and stuff like that, I don't, again, it's not like I'm trying to say that as in a glorification type of thing. It's an expression type of thing. Like, if you know people who are from these types of neighborhoods, you understand what I mean. Like, they're a different cut. They're a different cut. Like, I'm not from the hood, right? Like, I grew up rough, but I'm not from the hood, right? Like, I'm a very different, my poverty was very different than people who grew up in the projects, for instance, right? People who grew up in the projects, that's a whole different type of lifestyle. And again, lifestyle not as in that they chose that life, but as in that's the life they were stuck in, right? And so I appreciate people who express that in a real way, that express that in a way that's not glorifying it, but showing how crazy it was, like how insane it was. Like Schoolboy Q, you know, one of my favorite songs from him is I think it's called Blessed, you know, where he's talking about like how, you know, how hard it was growing up and stuff like that. And like when you lose somebody, like it never leaves you, and you want to hug, and you want to hug people, and you're like, yeah, like I'm here for you. Like, but he's saying that, like, you know, bless my nigga, yes my nigga, when you think about it, it could be worse, my nigga. Like it's a beautiful song, right? Like he's going into that depth of emotion and experience and stuff like that. But all that to say, like J. Cole and Drake, in my opinion, they're not about that life, right? They pretend to be, but they don't really know what it's really like, and they try to use their association with people from that life. Like maybe they know people from that life because now they're rich and they can surround themselves with those people, but they're not from it. They don't really understand it like that, but they try to pretend that they are. And that to me is very, not cool. It's not it's frustrating, it's annoying, it's stupid in my opinion. It's inauthentic. And so when this beef came out, you know, where especially starting from like first person shoot, like people try to say, oh, Kendrick came out of nowhere, you know, unprovoked. He was not unprovoked. J. Cole and Drake said in First Person Shooter, the last big album, or that song in the last big album Drake made, that they are the greatest in the game, that they are, you know, top three, you know, oh, not no top three, just two, right? They're in the Super Bowl, whatever, right? And that is a huge provocation to somebody like Kendrick, who is real, who is extremely authentic, and who everybody admits, anybody that listens to hip-hop, and even many people who don't listen to hip-hop, admits that Kendrick is one of the greatest of all time in this game. So to make a song, and I'm pretty sure J. Cole specifically called out, like, he said Kendrick's name in the song, like, oh, forget him, like, he hasn't made no music, it's just me and Drake. Like, that's a direct provocation. And so, yeah, when Kendrick came out with his diss on like that, it was deserved, right? It was deserved. It was well deserved. And so now when J. Cole comes back with his Might Delete Later and with a whole bunch of shots at Kendrick, and then his 7-minute drill, complete diss on Kendrick, not only does that like originally, I'm not even getting to like his apology before even that moment, when you hear his song, his album, in my opinion, a lot of it was not that great. Technically speaking, or like rhythmically speaking, I did like a lot of it, right? I do think there were elements of it that was rhythmically and technically pretty cool, but a lot of the bars were just flat, right? Because they didn't have the substance, right? They didn't have nearly the amount of depth or the authenticity, right, that comes from trying to make a gun bar or trying to, you know, pretend like you're this type of person, right? The entire reason why gun bars are so clever is because it takes a real experience and turns it into this joke that works on different levels, right? And you can say something about gun bars, like maybe we need to move past that point. And now, man, there's so much I want to talk about this. but... Oh, God, I had to cut this short because I do have to go soon. But yeah, there's elements of hip hop that's all about, you know, the bravado, right? Again, because it's kayfabe, right? It's pretending, it's or not just pretending, it's leaning into a role, right? But unlike the kayfabe of like wrestling, it is based on, oh, actually, maybe somewhat similar to wrestling, in that in wrestling you still have to have some skill, right? Some technique, some ability that makes your kayfabe, you know, realistic in a way. Similar in hip hop, you know, your presumptions, your leaning into this gangster lifestyle or whatever has to come from a real experience, right? Otherwise, it's just pretending. It's just make believe, right? It's not even you're not leaning into a role. You're completely fabricating the role, right? And that's a very different type of thing. You're an actor, not a real person, right? You're not taking something from your life and then elevating it or dissecting it or, you know, transforming it. You're taking something from somebody else's life and stepping into it and pretending that's you and acting as if that's you and insisting that that's you, right? And I think that is a disservice to the music, to the art, in my opinion, right? My strong opinion. And so, yeah, when I heard J. Cole's Might Delete Later, I was not really a fan of it because, again, I did like some of the sounds, but when you go past the sounds and look into the lyrics, I'm just like, he's not really saying much, right? And I think that many people began to see that as well. It was like, oh, this is the softest diss ever, right? It feels like he didn't really mean it, right? It feels like he's not being authentic. And lo and behold, you know, 2 days later, he drops in a fucking apology for the music, you know, showing that he didn't mean it and he didn't want to do this, but he felt like he was hyped up by his crew, right? But the big problem with that apology, not just the fact that he made it, was the fact that it shows that he doesn't understand the art of hip hop. He doesn't understand that the reason that you have this diss culture It's not to disrespect and call for blood and like actually going to murder people, because again, anybody from this culture recognizes that it's not about actually murdering people, right? It's not about actually saying, yeah, I got this gun, I'm gonna go kill you and do a drive-by, right? There might be that, the sound of that, but again, that's just a method of expressing where they came from, of expressing, you know, their lifestyle that they came from, and showing how they're using art and music as a healthy way to get out of that, right? And so the art is meant to elevate out of this, right? It's meant to take those aesthetics of their life, right, and paint it or use it as a canvas, you know, to paint you this picture, right? And therefore to communicate, to express the anger or their violence, or like maybe if they were from the street, if they were still in the streets and they never did music, yeah, maybe they would do this stuff, right? Because they felt like they had to survive. That's how they had to get out of there. But now that they're out, or now that they're trying to get out, they're using the music as a way of expressing that, right? I think it was, I think I mentioned this earlier, KRS-One said, you know, when people had beef on the streets, they didn't, you know, take their guns and go kill everybody. They used the music, right? They had a rap battle, they had a dance off, they had a what do you call it? The spray paint, right? They used the art to cut out the actual violence, right? That's the whole point of using violence in the art, right? It's as a substitute for actual violence, right? The art is not calling for violence, it's a substitute for it. And so when people make diss tracks, right, when people make, you know, beef or whatever in hip hop, it's not to actually call for the violence of the people that you're talking about. It's meant as a substitute for it. And if you do not understand that, you do not understand hip hop, right? And this is a big problem for both the younger folks who don't understand hip hop and think because it's all been commoditized, it's all been, you know, watered down. They think that, oh, people are saying these violent things in music, that means I need to go do this in real life to show that I'm about that. But no, it's meant to show what you came from, and now using the music as a substitute for that, so you don't have to go back to it, so you don't go back to it, so you don't glorify it anymore, right? The younger folks in hip hop, like freaking, what's his name, Tay-K or whatever, you know, those folks think that in order to make this music, or the music is now is supposed to be calling for this stuff rather than substituting for it. And similarly, right, these artists like Drake and J. Cole, who are not authentic, who don't come from this life, don't understand that this music is about a substitution for all these things, right? If you're using the aesthetics of that life, you shouldn't be using it just for the aesthetics, right? You should be using it if you come from it, right? Or even if you don't come from it, at least to, you know, talk about how that affects you or how that affects the community or whatever in different ways, right? And you can see examples of that in folks like Tech N9ne, right? I feel like in his stuff, you know, well, I can't say for sure whether or not he came from that life. I haven't looked into his story, but like in a lot of his music, even from way back when, he doesn't really talk a whole lot about that, right? He doesn't really glorify it at all. He talks about it, but you can see a lot of his music, it's meant as a sort of painting, like a, you know, a kind of background, right? It's not like, it's never the forefront and stuff like that. So even if he uses the aesthetics, right, is not as a glorification. So all that to say, yeah, I understood exactly why J. Cole apologized, because he's not about that life, right? And I think he recognizes that, like he said, he's not, that's not what his spirit is about. But the problem is that he's not understanding that the whole point of the diss was never supposed to be about actual violence. It was supposed to be about the craft, right? Freaking Kendrick said it best in his Control verse, right? Even though Drake tried to hate on it, tried to say nobody gonna remember the verse, everybody, you know, talks about it all the time. You know, he said in that verse, I'm I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you niggas. Right? I'm trying to make sure your core fans never heard of you, right? And the point of him saying that is that he wants to get better with his pen. He wants to get better with his art, right? He wants to get so good with his art that people are listening to him because they like his art, right? In order to do that, you have to, you know, sharpen your sword, right? And that's why diss raps, you know, is such an important part of hip hop, right? This is why I disagree with folks like Tyler the Creator who say, oh, why is everybody talking about the Big Five? It's just, you know, talk about what you like, right? People talk about the Big Five and compare and contrast these artists because it helps them and you as a fan, ideally, if you're real, to understand the differences and to, again, sharpen that pen, right? If you want to look at, like, for instance, the best swords, or if we want to take it out of pure violence, if you want to just look at, you know, let's say the best games, for instance, right? Obviously, games are extremely subjective in terms of what your favorite games, but we can all point to like some of the best games of all time or whatever of a certain genre. And compare and contrast them because in the way that helps us to understand the mechanics of them and what makes them good and what makes them bad or what makes the difference between them and why this one is, you know, really good at storytelling. This one's really good at gameplay. This is really good at this, right? You can still compare them, even if they're games of different types, right? You can still compare a freaking, you know, a Skyrim and Red Dead Redemption, right? Even though they're completely different genres. And theme and gameplay, it's still an open world kind of narrative driven, you know, ish kind of story RPG type of game. And because of that, you can put them in this, you can compare and contrast and better understand what makes a good game, right? Especially and specifically what you enjoy in a game, right? You can better express what you enjoy in that art by comparing and contrasting the different things in that art sphere, right? And then you as a creator of games can now look at that from a different perspective of like, okay, how do they make this, right? When you compare and contrast these different things, you as an artist, as a creator can say, okay, I can take elements of that. I can understand that process. I can, you know, learn from this or learn how to did that wrong and do it better here, right? And therefore you can create better art. This is the whole point. Right. And yes, a lot of the nuance gets lost when people just talk about Big Five and be like, oh, as if it's a sports team. Right. In terms of like just fanhood, just you're a fan of them just because you're from that space. You're from that state or whatever. Not because you actually care about the techniques and the what that team actually does on the field. Right. It's a different type of sports fan. I mean, I'm not even a sports person, but I can see there's different types of sports fans. There's those who only care about sports because they're from there, because everybody else cares, and there's those who actually care about the sport. Right? And hip-hop is similar. There's a lot of people who are fans of an artist and or fans of the genre of hip-hop in general because everybody else is, or because, you know, they think they should be, or because other people are, or because, you know, they're from this area. Not because they actually care about the art. And I think that's where a lot of the issues comes from. Again, the commodification. So I'll end it there for now, but there's a lot more I can talk about this stuff. Like the one thing I want to talk about is how, like, I think hip hop should be treated more like a sport and that it should have rules, right? It should have clear rules that says, you know, when you're making the beef or when you're making a diss track or whatever, the point is not to, you know, call for violence. The point is not to say, I'm going to actually go and shoot you. The point is to use clever methods of violence, or it doesn't even have to be violence. But if you use violence, it's used as a clever writing tool, right? It's used as a clever, you know, tool that you're using in your art, not as a way to glorify the real thing, right? And to say that simply, it's similar to like boxing, right? Yes, the point is to go and hit the other person, but it's not to kill them, right? Your job as a boxer is not to kill that other person by any means necessary. No, it's to participate in the art of boxing, right? Right? This is why you have fouls or, you know, whatever. Right? Again, I'm not a sports person, but you have rules that says you're not going to choke that person out. You're not going to stab him in the eyes. You're not going to do all this other stuff, right? yes, it might be violent, it might look violent, and yes, there may even be some injuries that comes from it, but it's a part of participating in the sport for the sport itself, right? To be a better athlete, or to be better at that sport, to be better at that activity, as opposed to, you know, just going and killing people or going and hurting people, whatever. So yeah, that's a whole other conversation I'll get more into next time, probably, and a number of other stuff. But I didn't even get into the risk and reward. I knew I wasn't going to get into it. But I ended there for now. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Keep being radical. Keep being revolutionary. If you're a fan of hip-hop, be a real fan. Be authentic. You know, appreciate the art for the art. You know, and help people to appreciate the art for the art. And, yeah, have a great day. See ya. Bye-bye.